Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we praise you and thank you that you continue to open our eyes of understanding, that we understand your word. We pray, O God, that you continue to fill us with your wisdom. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you open, O Lord, our hearts to receive your word. And we ask and invite the Holy Spirit to come in our midst to unveil the truth to our lives. Father, we pray that you establish your people on firm ground. Thank you, Father. And we ask that you glorify your Son in our midst. Lay him high in our midst, Father God, that he may be exalted. Thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy to our lives. And we glorify you all the rest of our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Today we are continuing on the demonology series, and so this morning we want to touch on wrong methods in deliverance ministry, and there are several areas involved. And so let's first look at the word regarding charms and objects. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. See the Lord's commandments to his people in verse 4 and 5. For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods, so the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. But thus you shall deal with them: you shall destroy their altars and break down their sacred pillars, and cut down their wooden images, and burn their calf images with fire. And also in verse 24, right on to 26, same chapter, chapter 7. And he will deliver their kings into your hand, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. You shall burn the calf images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it is an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. But you shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing.
Now in this passage we see the Lord's exhortation on objects. He not only say that you are to destroy those objects, but Deuteronomy chapter 7 tells us in verse 26, you shall not bring those objects into your house. He is particularly referring to objects that have been worshipped. These are objects that have been given worship. These are objects that when the people worship them, they invoke on false demonic powers. Quote unquote, they are called gods by people, small g. And all these objects, the Lord said, they are an abomination. And the other phrase he says is, lest you be snared by them. And see, these objects are what I call the reverse right and authority of the blessing, which of course will be the curse. See, when we transmit an anointing, the anointing is transferable. We have to understand the negative from the positive. It always starts with God. Satan is not a creator, he's only a perverter. He cannot create anything. He has only been able to pervert what God has created. And of all the principles, he always turns it to the negative. See, the positive principle is outlined in Acts chapter 19. When Paul had the anointing of God on him, and whatever object that touched him, and the Bible in Acts 19 records aprons, pieces of cloth that when they come into contact with Paul, handkerchiefs and aprons, when they were taken away from him to any place, wherever the aprons and the cloth touched people who had sickness, the sickness left their bodies. Whenever the aprons and cloths that has an anointing transmitted upon them touches a demon-possessed person, the demon runs out. So on the positive side, we realize that objects can become transmitted or little batteries of the anointing of God. The anointing is stored in objects like a battery. And then it goes forth and discharges the anointing for a certain purpose, a certain reason. That is a positive side. We all know that anything positive can always be perverted to something negative. Now the opposite happens here, that the curse can be sort of transmitted through objects that Satan, quote-unquote, blessed. Objects that are used to invoke demon powers and demon spirits, charms and fetishes and all kinds of abominable objects. These objects will give authority wherever it goes for demons to come in to a person's life or to a house. They become the permission givers for the demons to come into a home or a house. Just as when an anointed cloth goes forth and touch a person who is demon possessed or sick, it gives God permission to intervene in a person's life to bless them and bring them His healing virtue. The opposite of it is that when Satan could have objects that have been worshipped, and him or any of his smaller demon powers, he could use those objects as a permission ground for entering a person's life or home to destroy them. God brings the blessing, Satan brings the curse. God is the giver, Satan is the taker. Jesus said, "I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly," but Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So every positive principle has its negative perspective. But in this area, we have to have some balance. The Bible refers primarily to objects that have been worshipped. All are objects of worship to people where demonic powers has been invoked into those objects. And we've got to draw a line in that area. Because there are people who go to the extreme, and it does not end up just special objects that have the blessing or rather quote unquote the curses of Satan involved, but they cover every area that reminds them of Satan. Like for example, if you go to the supermarket and you do your weekly shopping and you put all those things, they put all those things in a plastic bag. But it's Chinese New Year time, and so they put a lot of dragons on the plastic. And so you take those plastic bag home. Now, when those fellows do all those things, there has been no prayer involved, nothing involved, but it's just those objects, this picture of the dragons, and you took it home into your house. And the moment you enter your house, the demon also enters in, follows those objects. And if there are a lot of old plastics in your house, that you have, and they say, all those are abominable. What are you going to do? Are you going to just ask them for a cardboard box and carry all your things home? What are you going to do? There must be a line drawn in all these objects. And some people go very far on that. And one day there was this sister was staying in my house, and so she was wearing a long night dress. But right at the end of the long night dress was a little hole. I said, "What's that for?" And she said, you know, one time she moved over to this extreme area, and any object that looks demonic or anything, or even things that have resemblance to Satan, they had to take away. And so she had this lovely nightgown, and it has I forgot what object it was, but there was some sort of figure. And maybe it was a little dragon or something. It was not a dragon, it was a phoenix or something. something more neutral, or a tiger, lion, I forgot what it was, but she said it was there, it was one of the brands of the dress. And so of all the things, what she did, when she heard, you cannot have all these objects in your house, so she looked and she saw the gown, and it was such a waste to just throw the whole gown away. So she decided, since it's nightgown, she's not going to go out with that, she will just take a scissors and cut a hole. And then she goes around with a hole, you know, so that she won't get demons. A hole in the dress. And there is a problem that we have to realize, that there must be a division. If you say every object that has been worshipped has to be got rid of. Alright? Fair. A lion has been worshipped, so don't go to the zoo. And don't have pictures of lions. Trees have been worshipped, so don't have plants in your house. Rocks have been worshipped, so get rid of rocks too. And almost any animal you think of has been worshipped. Certain birds have been worshipped, so no bird pictures in the house. I think when we enter your house, it looks like an unfinished house. No painting. Say, why no painting? Because God said thou shalt have no image at all of any object or anything. And they take the letter of the law, but they don't understand the principle. The principle is in relation to worship. So when those objects that have been worshipped, or in relation to worship, like for example the pictures of idols, of course those are pictures of something that is especially created to remind you of a religion or a worship. Like a picture of a Buddha, that's obvious, right? It's an object that speaks of another total of religion altogether, and it is something created to worship. Or for example, if you would go to any of these idols and you do a nice painting of them, there's no actually nice one because all idols look horrifying, and then you pin it on your house, of course those you are taking pictures of things that directly worship. But if it's object of animals, for example birds, animals, every one of these animals have been worshipped to a certain extent. The sun has been worshipped, that means no more sun for you. You got to go around with a mask. Say why? Because the sun has been worshipped. And it has nothing to do with objects that have been worshipped. What about the moon then? The moon has been worshipped. So there must be a line that is drawn, and the line that is drawn differs between things that are directly involved with demonic worship and idol worship, and things that are not no relation with worship. Some people may worship those things. People may worship a chair if they want. Right? That doesn't mean we don't have chairs in the house. People worship money. That doesn't mean you have no money in the house. People worship gold, silver. And if you are in Thailand, their international passport has the imprint and the watermark of a Buddha. Does that mean that if you're a Christian, you should not hold a Thailand passport if you're a Thailand citizen? Can you see the difficulty? What are you going to do? If you take a Thai passport, it has an impress of a Buddha in every page. Just like in our Malaysian passport, we have the lion and the tiger, you know, impressed inside. They put passport Malaysia, etc. But for them, they have an impress of a Buddha. What are they going to do? Does that mean that the Thai people cannot use those passports? Because it has become, you know, related. For of course, you know, the national religion there is Buddhism. So they put that inside. What are you going to do? Are you going to just get a passport and put it outside your house? Special compartment. They cannot take into the house but can go out and use. Something wrong. There's something wrong. There has to be a dividing line. And the dividing line is the objects. Like, if you go to the supermarket and they have pictures of Chinese New Year time, and they have phoenix and dragons all over the place on your plastic bag, and you're a neat person, you always use those old plastics to put your rubbish, tie it up and put it in the rubbish heap. Does it mean that you got to instantly throw away instead of keeping in a drawer old rubbish bags that you could put in and tie it up? And what about Bible commentaries? In all Bible commentaries, literally, you would have certain pages of old archaeological relics, which some of them are objects of worship. You look at your Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and in some of the old King James Version, at the back they have an archaeological section. Inside they have a few pictures of idols, my friend, better cut it out. What are you going to do? Have a few holes in your Bible? No, my friends, there is a line of division. God specifically referred to objects that have been worshipped. Objects that have a special quote-unquote a curse involved directly. Where a special invocation has been pronounced. And he says, destroy them, have nothing to do with them. Sometimes we may relate directly to books, right? There have been a certain invocation. Even certain pop music are Satan worshippers, and they specially invoke Satan's demons to follow the pop music. Certain rock and roll groups. You could see the way they dress, how hideous they are. Some call themselves by the name Lucifer, Black Sabbath, and all these things. Purposely invoking on demon powers. And not only talking about this worship, idol worship, anything, even records that have all those things that are specially invoking the quote-unquote blessings, but actually curses of Satan, should be destroyed. Should be destroyed. Turn to the book of Acts 19. Now just remember that Deuteronomy chapter 7 also told you, you shall not covet the gold or silver that is on these objects. It may be value $10,000, it makes no difference to God. God will bless you. Acts 19, if you are obedient. Acts 19, verse 18 and 19. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also many of those who had practiced magic. Ah, that's witchcraft. The word magic is a Greek word, witchcraft. Brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. That's a lot of money in those days. 50,000 pieces of silver. Now, those books that they were burning were books that teach witchcraft and incantations. So definitely they have a direct relationship to bringing the curses on people. Quote unquote, whether it's called white magic or black magic, is still witchcraft. The end of itself is destruction. And God says it will snare you. How will it snare you? By allowing Satan permission and demons permission to enter your homes, to enter your houses and cause trouble and cause curses in you. Let me draw a line here. I've drawn a line between objects of worship and objects of worship and objects that are nothing, no relation to worship at all. I mean, when the Thailand government printed the passport, they didn't invoke, you know, all the things they have. It's just because it's a symbol of the religion in that country. It's a different thing altogether. But I would like to draw a line between objects that have demonic influence and objects that have soul influence. You must differentiate between the two. Let's say you have a family antique that your great-grandfather has. And then pass to your grandfather, pass to your father, and your father on the deathbed pass to you. Four generations have been having it. And you are the first generation that came to know Christ. Now the previous three generations live a lifestyle of immorality and lust and strife and covetousness. Then it's passed on to you. Now it's an antique. It's not. It was not worshipped, but it's just like a precious piece of family inheritance, and they pass it to you. And then you are just a normal believer, spirit filled, and always having the freedom of worship. Then the moment you take those objects into your house, you feel very depressed. you feel extra temptations on the life. At night when you sleep, you see all kinds of wild fantasies. They wonder where, how did it come in? It may not have anything to do with demons. It may have to do with the soul influence. Now, soul influence works like this. A little bit like the spirit, but different. Soul influence is that any object that has been used, worn, or like Joshua said, when he said, these stones here, the word of God, the objects take on a character of its own within the ownership of the person. And so, for example, if you give me a shirt that has been worn by a bank robber and he has lived a very murderous life, killing many people, violence and greed, rebellion, and I take that shirt home, immediately I could sense that same kind of atmosphere, violence, greed, etc. It may even appear in a dream. What are these? The shirt was not worship, it was only worn. What are these? These are what I call soul influences. They are different from spirit influences. They are different altogether. See, there are spiritual impartation, there's soul impartation, and there's body impartation. Do you know there's body impartation? Yes. Every one of you has a BO. You know what is BO? Body odor. The dog can tell you, the moment you sit on your seat, it may be 2 hours ago, and you go off, if I bring a smart dog, and it smells, it knows that it's you. Our nose, human noses are not as sensitive, but dogs know. And all of you has your peculiar smell. Some people smell stronger than others. Right? All have their peculiar smell. There is body odor that is transmitted on anything you touch, hold, or wear. In the physical realm. There's a spirit realm that involves demons, or in the spirit realm that involves the Holy Spirit. Like if you gave me a Bible that has been used by Smith Wigglesworth, I tell you, it brings a certain presence of God, of his life of prayer. See, there is always a positive, there's a negative to the principle. So there is a spiritual impartation, the bad and the good. There is a soul impartation, the good and the bad. The good and the bad. The bad is like, I give the example of the shirt belonging to robber. On the good side, it may not have been something prayed for, but it carries an influence of its own. Now remember, soul influences are removed either through prayer or letting it soak in the new influence. Soak in the new influence. It may take time, it may take the blood of Jesus and prayer, and it soaks in the new influence. And sometimes it takes time consuming to put that there, especially in through 4 generations. And I'd rather do without some of those things. And so it's important for us to note the difference. The warning that God gives regards to those are the spiritual objects that have been given spiritual incantations, charms, etc., that directly have a purposeful existence to permit Satan and demons to enter a person's house or person's life. So those, the Lord says, destroy. Destroy. So we draw a line between those two. The other line that we have to draw is in regard to idol food and object. Idol food. And please turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 19 and 20, Paul says, "What am I saying then, that an idol is anything, or what is offered to idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons." Notice there is a certain area where it is no more cultural, but it is false worship. And Paul says, don't have anything to do with that. There is demon worship. But he goes on to say, in verse 25, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no question for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all the fullness. There are two sides to it. 1 Corinthians 7 also talks about this area. Chapter 8 also talks about this area, 7 and 8. And now, as we look at this area here, Paul says there's a difference between demon worship and what you call a part of the just a part of the normal life. There is a difference between that. He says, whatever is sold in the market, I mean, you cannot tell the difference. You go and buy meat, you don't know what has been done with the meat. So he asks no questions, buy it, cut it, pray over it, sanctify it, and consume it. But when there are certain festivals, you're going to participate, it may directly involve demon worship, kowtowing to the demons. Then you have to say, no, I have nothing to do with it. See, there is a dividing line that Paul talks about. But from time to time, the dividing line cuts through culture. See, there are certain rituals that are done, whether in marriage time or in funeral services or dedication services of all religions, that relate to demon worship, and some that relate to culture. There's nothing wrong with culture as long as it has nothing to do with false worship. And sometimes certain cultures pass from here to there, like mooncake. Once upon a time, it was specially made for worship. But after 2, 3, 4, or I don't know how many generations they started that, thousands of years have passed. Now it has become a delicacy. When they make it in the cake shop or bakery, they don't make it with a purpose to worship anymore. The prime purpose is for consumption, for people to eat it. Some may take those things and worship it, but it's now becoming a delicacy. So there's nothing wrong with eating mooncakes at all, right? They are nice. Then, in Malacca, there's a dish called Devil's Curry. I don't know the origin of it, but I assume from the title that once upon a time, it was something done to worship the devil. Devil's Curry. I didn't know devil's like curry. And he must have loved a lot of cabai, you know. Reminds me of hell. And so, now it is a delicacy. There are restaurants that sell it and call it a devil's curry. They don't make it with a purpose to worship anymore. It has become a delicacy, although I still don't like that name. But if you like devil's curry, go ahead and eat it. Feed out the devil after that. Oh, no. And it has nothing to do with him anymore. Or let's say in the Indian culture, they would put the thing, the ash from the temple, and put right in the center here. Right? Once upon a time, especially has to do with worship, and it always invokes a blessing, because it's all this idol worship stuff. But through time, in Malaysian culture, it has evolved until it become a fashion. It's become a fashion. So nowadays they sell it as coloring, right? Blue ones with blue sari, yellow one with yellow sari, right? So now instead of using the ashes, they use the color. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. I don't object to that. See, God never asked you to get rid of your culture. When you were born again, you did not have to become westernized. And incidentally, Christianity is an Eastern religion, not a Western. It started in the Middle East. And so there is a dividing line between what is worship and what is culture. And from time to time, there are certain things that pass from one to the other. And there is why there are certain things you cannot give a hard and fast rule. Because in certain situations, it has to do with worship. In some other situations, it has no more to do with worship. But if you go to a different country, maybe in India, it may be different. Maybe the dot has not become culture yet. Maybe in the cities it has, but in outskirts it has not. So you must learn to differentiate that certain things are still passing through. That borderline called worship on one side, culture on the other. Nothing wrong with culture, and something wrong if it has to do with worship. Worship, you have to say no. Culture, you've got to discern. Has it to do with worship or not? And so Paul talks about idols' food in the same manner. He says there's some things richer that has to do with fellowship. There are others sold in the marketplaces. I mean, you can't do anything about it. I mean, it's there. Nobody knows anyway. It's just a commercial thing outside. So it's important to note the difference between what is wrong and right. There's a dividing line. Another third area, we're only covering three areas, on wrong methods in deliverance ministry, is what I call invoking wrong manifestations. And again, the dividing line is here. See, as regard to objects, there is spirit influence, soul influence. You have to differentiate the two. In regard manifestation, you have to differentiate between the two. For the two objects there are two areas of manifestation. I touched on that, but there is a difference between the two. And so when people minister deliverance, sometimes they purposely look for manifestation. And you want manifestation, you can always have it. You can always have it. And yet some do not differentiate between soul manifestations and spirit manifestation, and they go to untold hurt and untold unnecessary kind of events. Right. Praise God. Sister, could you come right now here? Praise the Lord. Praise God. This is our dear sister. I mean, she's been set free. She's spirit filled, tongue talking. Lift up your hands unto the Lord. Somebody stand behind. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands unto the Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Father God, I pray that your Holy Spirit come upon her life even now, Lord. Thank you, Father God, that you cause your glory and your anointing upon her life, Lord, to grow. Father God, bless her, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There goes the anointing of God all over your life, sister. All over your life. The anointing of God all over your life. Feel her some more, Lord. Feel her to the fullness. There it goes. Feel her to the fullness. Feel her to the fullness, Lord. Feel her some more, Lord. Feel her some more, Lord. All right? Feel her, Lord. Feel her, Lord. All right? Just hold her for a moment so she doesn't move. Thank you. All right. Now, when a person is down this way, it has nothing to do with demonic power. But if right now I begin to just keep calling demons to come out, she will get a manifestation. It has nothing to do with demons, my friend. You got to make a difference between that. Right? Jesus' name. Come out. All of you that is inside. Out. 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 All of you. Inside. Now this one, right? I'm just illustrating. Out. Out. Come on. Out. Out. All of you. Oh. Oh. Come out. Oh. All of you. Come on. Out. 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 All of you. Out. Out. Get out. Get out of this body. 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 Can you see that? It has nothing to do with demons, my friend. It looks very spectacular. But you've got to differentiate between soul manifestation and demonic manifestation. And let me share the key in how you really set a person free and deliver. It's not important what the manifestation is. I'm going to show you from the Bible. The most important thing is you want to set the soul free. You want to be sensitive to what the person's soul is. Now, if I keep on just now, like what I did, which is not what you're supposed to do, by the way. Alright. We haven't finished yet. We're going to pray a blessing on you. Right? And just hold on there. And whenever people go down to the power, they have yielded certain areas of their life. And when they yield, you could pull out. You see, what I was drawing out when I give that command was her soul and not a demon. Some people hear, and they say, demon, demon, demon. You don't judge a demon by the manifestations alone. There are some problems that are caused by physical cause, like epilepsy. Not all epilepsy is demons. Not all arthritis is unforgiveness. It's wrong for you to just shove through a person's throat overall thing and say all arthritis is unforgiveness. No, some arthritis could be physically caused. Some may be by unforgiveness, but not all. So it's wrong for us to just jump to conclusion. Now, she is spirit filled. There is no demon in her, my friend. There's completely no demon. But I could get a soul manifestation out that looks a lot like demons manifesting. And people don't differentiate. They don't differentiate between soul manifestation and a spirit that is manifesting. And if you keep commanding out to everybody here, let me tell you, you find that three quarters of you got funny things coming out. And people will say, then I told you there are a lot of demons in Christians. No, my friend. That is the wrong way to minister. We're talking about wrong method. She is blessed. She is such a lovely sister. She loves the Lord. Jesus is in her life. And right now she's going to be able to worship God in the spirit and in tongues. Oh, wonderful Father, give her tremendous blessing, Lord. Wonderful blessing, Lord. Wonderful blessing in her life, Lord. Feel her with your divine blessings, oh Lord. Oh, right now the Lord is filling your life with the spirit and you shall worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's giving you a new tongue, a new blessing. New blessing, fresh blessings in the Lord. Fresh blessings in the Lord. There he goes, wonderful Jesus. You shall worship the Lord thy God. She will be blessed. She's completely filled with the Spirit of God. So remember, there is a wrong method and there is a right method. And the principle is important. It's remember the difference. There is a drawing line. Just as you differentiate between objects that have soul influence and objects that have demon influence, you have to draw the line. They are different. And there are manifestations that are invoked from the soul. There are manifestations that are really demonic. How do you differentiate the two? See, the Bible does not ask us to encourage demonic manifestation. A demon manifests only based on two areas. Two areas. We are allowed two methods to bring about a demonic manifestation if demons are there. Number one, through the preaching of the word. Number two, through the anointing of God. So let me just read those scriptures before we go on. Turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Mark, chapter 1. In verse 22-23. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. Now there was a man in their synagogues with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. Now, he cried out only after the teaching, not before. Jesus did not go witch hunting or demon hunting. He was just preaching the word. When he was preaching the word, the demon manifests. The demon screamed. That man could have been there quiet all the time. But when the word was preached by the anointing of God, the demon cannot stand it, and it was exposed by the light of the word. When the demon screamed, Jesus commanded to come out. So demons are brought into manifestation, not because you have a person lying down, and you say, you know, if any demon are there, manifest. Any demon there, manifest. You will get some sort of manifestation, but it's not the demonic power. A lot of it is soul manifestation. A person feels relief after that, but the relief is from the soul, not from the spirit. The problem with that kind of therapy is it's temporary, because after some time a person needs it. It becomes like a drug addiction, and they are addicted to that kind of therapy. Every time their soul feels down, they come for deliverance. What they don't need is not deliverance. They need the word of God to teach them the walk of faith. And so here, we have what we call a manifestation that Jesus brought about by the teaching of the word. And the other area is Mark chapter 9, please. Mark chapter 9. Let's look at verse 19. Jesus came down. Remember, he had just been transfigured. The anointing of God was on his life. And he came down with the anointing of God, and in verse 19 and 20, he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, fell to the ground, wallowed foaming at the mouth. Now remember, he was vomiting, but the demon was still not coming out yet. Now the second way demons manifest is when they see the anointing of God. They are scared. The anointing breaks every power they have and they are afraid. You don't have to try to invoke demonic manifestation. They enjoy it. It's a game to them. You just preach the word and the other walk in the anointing of God, flow in the anointing. The anointing will expose the demons. And the moment they see or they get in touch with the anointing, they cannot stand it, they have to manifest. So you don't go purposely out of the way to go witch hunting, demon hunting. There are only two scriptural methods to get the manifestation. One is just the anointing of God. And if a real demon is there, the demon cannot stand it. The other is by the preaching of the word. And at the same time, this is an important reason. See, when you manifest, when there's a manifestation, whether soul, there is a soul manifestation and there's a demonic manifestation, the key to deliverance is to get the word of God into the person's life. The key is to get the person's soul awakened to the truth of God, so that the soul could receive itself. So whenever, even if there's a fantastic manifestation, I don't care what kind, the important thing is not for me to make to do what I want, to do or try every method under the sun until there's no more manifestation. That is not the important thing. Because if you do that, you're going by the natural, not from the spiritual point of view. You're only going by what your eyes see. Jesus tend to do the opposite than what many deliverance ministers do. Jesus tend to tell those manifestations, shut up, rather than, come on, some more, some more. No, my friends, please be scriptural. I cannot imagine Jesus doing some of the things that people do. The question is, did Jesus do it? I don't see him doing it in the Bible. Jesus said, the works he did, we shall do also. You don't have to take, you know, 3 years to cast out a legion. You can take just a short moment. You don't have to cast them even one by one. You could cast them all out at once. So here, we see a spirit manifestation and soul manifestation. Whatever it is, you must be able to discern the difference. See, soul manifestation can sometimes look like demonic because the hurt, the grief, everything can make a person scream. Oh, demon, quickly. There's a release. Because you encourage it in the first place. You encourage it, you get a lot. I would say, if I do what I just did just now, for all of you right now, we are 3/4 of you screaming. All kinds of things. You feel your body going to all kinds of, you feel as if something wants to come out. The thing that wants to come out is your emotions and be loose. Your soul, certain areas. There is a difference between breaking of bondages and casting out demons. Sometimes it looks similar. But here, whatever, when you discern there is a demon case, the most important thing is to get hold of a person's soul. The moment I could see any point where the person is himself or herself, I must grab hold of the opportunity and get the person to start confessing the word or praying a prayer after me. If it's a real demon manifestation. You see, the total deliverance can only come when you get the word into the person and get the person resisting demons in their own life. A person must want to. You must want to. So the moment you could see any opportunity, see the flight, for example, if the person is Akau, right? And Akau is just, you know, flapping about like a chicken with a head cut off. And I want that, wah, 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 and there's a real demon. Let's assume it's a real demon, right? And all over the place. And you're really casting a demon. Let's say it's a demon of violence. All right, it's a demon of violence. And it's a violent. And Akau is flapping his wings and legs like a chicken with a head cut off, jumping all over the place. And so you keep commanding, and there is all this manifestation. The most important thing is to watch when Akau comes out and not the demon. See, as first you look into a person's eyes, the demons look right at you through the person's eyes. And the demon talks to the person. Tell you to shut up. Come out! And the moment you command, you will find the person restored. There is the Akau looks up for a while. See, the demons look to people's eyes. And at first, when a person is really possessed, you can see the demon in the person's eyes. Scaring you. Full of hatred. And when you come out, you could see the eyes thin. And when he said, yong, he also go after it. You could see Akka looking up for a moment. And before you know it, suddenly the demon tries to work something again, and you lost Akka. Right? Now it's a demon again. But the most important key is to get Akka, not to talk to the demon. And so, when you give a command, please quickly know that when you get Akka looking at you, say, Akka, repeat this after me. Say, Jesus. And say, Jesus. I put in his struggle, but say, Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Jesus, come into my life. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And get him the prayer, and Akka starts praying, and the more he pray, the demonic powers that are still trying to oppress him gets weaker and weaker. Akka's spirit and soul gets stronger and stronger, and he repeats the prayer. Jesus' power is released more and release more, and Akka starts praying. At first he's struggling, Jesus, I need you. And then you continue leading because you got Akka now. You got Akka now. So don't let Akka go. So get him to pray. And as he pray with you, you're going to see him getting stronger and stronger. And then, very important, get the word in. Get the word in. Fill his house with the word and with the spirit. Get him filled with the spirit. Get him born again. Get the word in. And as the person get the word in, begin to read the word. Begin to get the word. Say, Akka, right now, I want you to read this Bible passage. Read it out loud. Scream it if you want. And then he read it out loud. As you read, the nourishment that has been taken away from his spirit begins to come in. His spirit began to be stronger and stronger and stronger. And then the demons, you know, really began to realize, hey, they got no more hold over his life. And then Akka himself say, you demons, I don't want you anymore. Get out. And sooner or later, you get a completely delivered person. See, the methodology of people has defeated them all their lives. And it's important for us to realize that to get a person's soul and to get the person into the Word is more important than just to do a manifestation and then look for an outward relief when inwardly, let me tell you, if you go by the other old method, the moment you leave, and if you don't give the Word to the person, you could have the same case to deal with the next week. There's no permanent. The only permanent cure, my friend, is to get the Word. Get the word into the person. Sometimes it may look more difficult because a person does not really want to be free. But when a person really wants to, it's the easiest thing in the world. You could just get the word of God into a person's life, and lo and behold, you have a person delivered. Hallelujah. Just delivered. And as you see in Mark chapter 9, that Jesus was not interested in the manifestation at all. Even though there was all this vomiting, he didn't say that just because there was a vomiting, the demon had seen it and came out. No, it was still there. See, in Mark chapter 9, it says, when the demon in verse 20 fell to the ground, while foaming at his mouth, nothing happened. Then in verse 25, 26, Jesus saw the people coming. He says, you deaf and dumb spirit, come on, you come out and enter him no more. The demon cried out, convulsing greatly, and came out. And he looked very dead. Do it Jesus' way. Don't do it the wrong way. Right? People just get taken up just because they see manifestation. They don't differentiate. This is their problem. They don't differentiate between a soul manifestation and a demon manifesting. There is a difference. Just as you have to differentiate an object, whether the problem is a soul manifestation or a demonic power that came through a charm or object. There is a difference, my friend. Draw the line. There's a difference between objects that are just soul and soul influence that has been absorbed over generations, or a demonic power involved. And there's a difference between a demon manifesting and a soul manifestation. And there's a difference between worship and there's a difference between culture. Be balanced. Follow the word of God and you will bring the results that will glorify Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that you seal your word into people's lives. Father God, you begin to cause your grace to abound upon your people. Establish your children in your word and cause them to be wise as they go forth in your ministry under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, under your wonderful power, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you continue to cause your grace to abound and cause them to be mighty vessels for you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's stand together and worship the Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, demons will have to flee. When we stand on the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have victory. Amen. Give Jesus a clap offering. God bless you. Hallelujah.